pregnant nursing women should not handle. There will be spoilers. Check spoilers.podbean.com for more information. This is Know Nothing Tim with my review of the 1973 film Flesh for Frankenstein, a Andy Warhol co-production. Are you excited yet?
I'm so excited.
Alright, this one features Udo Kier as Baron Frankenstein, Monique Van Voorhis as Baroness Frankenstein, and Vinnie the Mook. Also, a few more people whose names aren't in English, so fuck them anyway.
It's not nice.
This film starts off with two innocent young ragamuffins playing doctor with a doll. Almost fooled you, didn't I? No, they're playing doctor with a lovely little Raggedy Ann doll.
Trademark.
And they cut it open and tear its stuffing out. Well, that's an HMO.
Socialist medicine joke emitted.
When they realize that there's no chance of reviving their little friend, of course they do the only humane thing. They chop its fucking head off with a guillotine. I'm assuming it's one of those darn fangled new Fisher-Price guillotines that all the kids seem to have nowadays. Void where prohibited, available where all Marie Antoinette Barbies are sold. We soon realize that the Baroness has pulled her two seemingly mute children out of school because evidently the school has been talking about her mother and father, who happen to be brother and sister. Did I mention the Baroness is not a bad-looking lady? You get to see one boob from her. It's not worth the wait. But anyway, she's not a bad-looking lady if it wasn't for the fact that she doesn't have any eyebrows. Which really kind of pales in comparison to the fact that she was fucking her brother. I guess if you want to detract from incest, it's a good idea to have other affectations for people to latch on and talk about to your children in school. We're then introduced to Udo Kier's character, Baron Frankenstein, the man himself. This is possibly his finest role, predating even his performance as Werner in Spermula.
Ew.
Considering his only two directions in this film were to act Serbian in German and to get angry at the air.
Stop following me!
We first find the doctor. He's putting the finishing touches on his female zombie and doing stuff I really don't know, because the first 5 minutes in his laboratory, I swear to God, you can't think of anything other than the fact that it's Dr. Frankfurter's laboratory, including the little pool and everything else. The only difference is he doesn't sing,
"I will make him a man,"
or anything like that. Finally, we are introduced to Nicholas and Sasha, two friends who just do not go together at all. Essentially, Nicholas is a man whore.
Ooh.
And Sasha is a closet gay.
Ooh.
What makes this movie even worse are the fact that everyone has some foreign accent that you have to suffer through, especially Sasha's character, performed by an actor named some name taken right out of the Necronomicon. Something that I dare not pronounce because it might raise the dead. Also, did I mention that the only real American in this film is Joe D'Alessandro, who plays Nicholas, the stable boy? The only one here without a goofy foreign accent is a goofy American accent. He talks like a South Sider.
It's pronounced South.
From now on in, we're just going to call him Tony the Mook. Anyway, Tony is worried about his friend Sasha because evidently he wants to become a monk or a priest or a cop or I don't really know. But anyway, he decides to do what any good friend would do for another friend. Take him to go see a hooker. Or four.
One venereal disease. Two venereal disease.
This is our first introduction into boobage in this film. And of course, one of them is Saggy Old Lady Boob, which actually is probably the best boob in the movie. You know what? Scratch that. It is the best boob in the movie. Stuff happens, etc., etc. Creepy kids walking around, not saying anything. Creepy adults walking around, saying stuff, not making any sense. Alright, they go to the whorehouse. In the whorehouse, you find out that Sasha's not really interested in women. In fact, the whole time, Tony the Mook is having an Uncle Three-Way, and, well, quite frankly, he's not interested in his prostitute. He's too busy admiring Tony's hairy bobbin man ass. Dr. Frankenstein is out on the prowl for a man to be the perfect male specimen for his perfect female specimen and create an ultimate zombie race, or some such bullshit. So Dr. Frankenstein decides to check out the local whorehouse and see the men that are frequenting this fine, fine establishment. Somewhere in the midst of the three-way, a Geico gecko just pops out of nowhere, and I don't want to know where it came from, but evidently it shot out with full force. And these chicks start freaking the fuck out. Like the Mammy and the Tom and Jerry cartoons. They just shoot out of the house, and Sasha goes out to console them. Well, when the doctor sees this, he thinks, wow, three women, what a virile man. So anyway, when they finally leave later on that night, they club Tony the Mook and cut off Sasha's head with a device that looks like it was intended to circumcise Paul Bunyan. They take his head, and when Tony the Mook wakes up the next morning and finds his best friend's dead body without a head, he just goes ahead and hides the corpse and goes on with his day and goes on to fuck the Baroness. Which leads me to my biggest problem with Tony the Mook is the fact that he never really shows any emotion indicative of the situation that he's in, all things considered. Let's move on.
Meanwhile, the Hall of Justice.
Back in Frankenstein's lab, he's sewing together body parts with his good buddy, Otto, who is the Serbian equivalent of Igor. And they fondle the corpses together. In fact, Dr. Frankenstein proceeds to go ahead and fist-fuck the open chest cavity of his perfect woman zombie. He fist-fucked the cavity of this woman. He just sticks his hand in there and gives an old face. It's really disturbing. Luckily, that tension is broken up by a wonderful little scene of the children spying in on their mother, fucking the stable boy, and then back to Dr. Frankfurter. Oh. Dr. Ooh. Frankenstein, who's back now, repositioning himself on top of the corpse so he can get better leverage and grind in on the woman as he fist fucks her and regular fucks her. Best part of this scene, though, is his words to Otto telling him, "Turn around. Hey, turn around. You didn't see nothing." As if his odd gawking is weird. Well, Frankenstein goes for round two, and it's everything I thought it could be. This scene is quickly followed by my favorite quote of this little movie from the Baron. He says to Otto, he says, "Remember, Otto, to know death you have to fuck life in the gallbladder." My friends, I try to live life a little bit like this each day. Which I believe is a quote from the Gospel of David Cronenberg. From here on in, the film kind of gets weird. Evidently, the Baroness decides to go ahead and hire on the stable boy as the manservant. He serves dinner for the family, and of course, Dr. Frankenstein decides to invite his zombies to dinner.
Sometimes. That's better.
Fine, considering they can't eat anyway, but okay. Anyway, Tony the Mook realizes that his best friend's head is now on top of the body of a monster. And of course, his reaction is weird. Much as if you were to see the valedictorian of your school working at a Jamba Juice. seemingly stuff happens. There's a heartwarming little scene with Tony the Mook and Baroness in bed where she's kind of kissing upon his body and making inappropriate sounds. Whoever did the dubbing did just pretty much what and she wasn't giving him a blowjob, which was far more disturbing than if she was. Anyway, then the kid's nanny goes ahead and nosies around Dr. Frankenstein's lab, and she runs into Otto. Otto feels left out of the debauchery, and rightfully so. Why shouldn't he get his with a strange corpse? So he goes ahead and does what any red-blooded whatever the hell he is would in that situation. He goes ahead and proceeds to accost the woman in the most juvenile fashion imaginable by chasing her around the castle, going essentially doing all the crap that you and I probably do to piss off our girlfriends. Stop. He chases her down, corners her, and in an attempt to remove her blouse, he rips her chest open. In a scene that's hard to fathom, but I find it to be the most unbelievable of all in this entire movie, considering that in all my pubescent fumblings, I have managed to make a fool of myself many a time while fumbling with a bra, but not even my most drunken prom night disaster have I broken the skin, let alone a chest plate. To this, Otto's reaction is, ah, well, tease up. Again, just a complete lack of reaction to tearing a woman in twain. And by the way, what happens to the nanny never comes up ever again in the movie. Because then we proceed to go on to Frankenstein trying to make his two monsters mate, which is essentially a 4-minute scene of Dr. Frankenstein telling the woman to kiss him, where she proceeds to go ahead and peck him on the cheek like a brother, and then step back. And then they stare at his penis.
Is that right? Is that
and
right?
He tells her to kiss him again, and they go on and on like this. And when they finally realize nothing's happening, he assumes that someone's been screwing with the bodies, and not the fact that Frankenstein's monster has a little extra sugar in his tank. Did I mention that these creepy kids are skulking around the castle, watching all this shit go down?
I want to live with
Mom. It's not something that's pertinent to the plot. I just think it's something you should think about right now.
Do it.
I just feel it's something that should weigh on someone's conscience, even if it is 30 years after the fact. Anyway, stuff happens, loud noises, shit gets real, and Tony the Mook gets scapegoated for the fact that Frankenstein's monster can't get it up. The Baroness hands over Tony, of course, for the Doctor's man monster. The monster proceeds to go ahead and crush her to death like oh so many tie hookers.
He's so crack.
Left alone for 5 minutes, Otto proceeds to go ahead and get his go at the female monster, while Tony the Mook looks on helplessly as he hangs from his wrists by a rope. Not that he really seems to care, even though he goes on to witness botched necrophilia at the hands of Otto, who goes ahead and tries to fistfuck yet again this poor zombie girl. Evidently, Otto, being a novice at fistfucking, he kills the zombie girl and gets caught by Dr. Frankenstein, who then scolds him for not doing it right. Because he does his damnedest to not act at all. He just kind of watches on as this girl gets fistfucked to death. Re-death. Then Dr. Frankenstein comes in and chokes Otto to death. Then the man monster comes in with a crushed, lifeless corpse of the Baroness.
I did it again.
And against all odds, he emotes not a word.
Not gonna do it.
Then the man monster turns on Dr. Frankenstein and proceeds to skewer him with some large medieval-looking pool cleaning tool that shoots through his stomach, holding out towards the camera what seems to be a pancreas. Did I mention this was originally in 3D?
3D!
Evidently in the 70s, they thought that you can take a gimmick like 3D and replace sexual thought and content. People were so ignorant back then.
No one likes sarcasm.
Udo Kier proceeds to carry on in a death scene that rivals that of Paul Rubens in Buffy the Vampire Slayer because he just goes to fuck on forever. And despite being witness to all this depravity, and against all odds, Tony the Mook refuses to emote even the slightest feeling at the sight of all this carnage.
You can't make me.
In fact, after it all, he says to his former friend, "Hey, why don't you let me down?" And then the monster says, "Well, what are your plans?" And well, he's like, "Well, I don't know. I was thinking maybe we go to town, see a real doctor. I still got your corpse. I mean, maybe, you know, he can do something." And the monster's like, that's all right. I think death is better at this point." He proceeds to go on and rip his own torso open, let his guts splay to the floor, leaving his once friend, Tony the Mook, still hanging from a crane above a pile of dead bodies at this point, to which, he still refuses to show any sense of presence to the fact that he just witnessed about 6 people die in a row in very peculiar fashions. And he doesn't even seem pissed by the fact that his friend killed himself without even, you know, taking him off the goddamn hook. Well, not all his lost friends. Don't give up hope yet, because let's not forget our 2 little ragamuffins still wandering around the castle. They pop out of nowhere, and without saying a word, they come to his aid, of sorts. The kids come down. They look at Tony, and Tony looks at them, and they look at Tony, and Tony looks at them, and kids walk away and grab scalpels, and Tony looks at them, and the children smile the way only children do. The end.
Turntable.